Welcome to our weekly devotion. I'm looking this week at 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm actually going to have some ideas from chapters 1 and chapters 2. And the reason is, as I'm covering this, is I heard this come up in a sermon I was listening to, and it reminded me of some things I've been going through in my own sermon series about Samson. We were talking about how Samson is a Nazarite, and part of the Nazarite vow is to not drink alcohol, to stay sober-minded. And so when we come down here, this stood out to me. Prepare your minds for action and be sober-minded. And I thought about that in terms of Samson, because he's ready for action. He's prepared, and we're called to engage in the war as a spiritual war, but we too should be preparing our minds for action, to be ready for it. A lot of times you'll see either that Christians aren't ready for the spiritual war, they don't have on the armor of God. They don't know how to use the sword, the spiritual sword. And so they're just simply not prepared. And that not prepared could be involved in a couple ways. It could come out a couple ways. One way is that they don't even notice the battle around them. And they spend their time maybe fighting about other things. You know, Christians spend a lot of time arguing with each other. And they're not engaging with the world to make disciples. Or it could come out that people get wounded. I was talking to a friend this week who made a great point to me that when you don't have the spiritual war on or the spiritual armor on, you can get wounded really easily. You might feel pain, so to speak, spiritual attacks more easily. Whereas if you have the armor on, they just bounce right off you and you keep going. And so those are two ways that someone could experience not being prepared for action. And we're to be sober-minded, just like Samson was, and set our hope fully on the grace that is brought before you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then I wanted to point something out to you. Verse 14. Did you know that as a Christian, you're a child of God? Do you derive joy from that truth? Do you derive comfort from that truth? You should. Because whatever else is going on, you're a child of God, and he loves you that way and provides for you that way. And nothing can separate you from the love of God. And so as obedient children, we should not be conformed to the passions of our former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you should also be holy in all your conduct. For since it is written, you shall be holy as I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. So coming back to verse 13, be prepared for action, sober-minded. Our hope is on this grace, and we're reminding ourselves each day, I'm a child of God, and our hope is in God. Our faith and hope are in God. Now, let me go to chapter 2. He tells us about some of these futile ways we are rescued from. Malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. These are the ways that people conduct themselves in the world, and Christians are to put those away from themselves and not behave that way. These are futile, and instead we're to be holy as God is holy. And you should recognize these as bad things, right? No one says to themselves, I want to be envious, or I want to slander someone, gossip about them. But sometimes our actions fit these. I mean, we may use a different term for it and say, no, I didn't really think it was that. And so we have to be aware of the fact that we're constantly in a spiritual war against these things, trying to have mastery over us. And again, that's where the armor of God comes in. Be prepared for that battle. And we should, like infants, not be infants, period. He says, like infants, specifically in this sense, long for the pure spiritual milk. Just like a child, a little baby just wants milk. We should long for the spiritual milk so we can grow. So we don't stay babies forever. We grow up into salvation. If indeed you've seen that the Lord is good, this is full salvation. This doesn't mean just justification. It means salvation, sanctification, justification, and sanctification. And then I wanted to show you something. Verse 9, again, re-emphasizing this point. We're children of God. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And so it's as if you say this, live like it. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You've been brought out of darkness into life. You're now God's people. Does that sink into you? Do you derive comfort from that and joy each day, no matter what's going on? You say, yeah, I am one of God's people. I am part of this holy priesthood, this holy nation, a royal priesthood, holy nation. And we should act like it. Behave that way as obedient children, putting on holiness. We should treat each other with that. We should be quick to love each other, quick to forgive, quick to mercy, quick to witness to unbelievers, quick to show compassion and kindness to unbelievers. As we think about how God loved us, we should be like the unlike not like the unforgiving servant who was forgiven a great deal but didn't forgive others. We should be quick to forgive. And I think about specifically unbelievers and how sometimes Christians can act unkindly and think that that's justified because, well, they're not Christians, and that's not true. God was very long-suffering with us, and we're thankful that God was merciful to us, and so we need to have that same behavior towards other people. And now wrapping back up to Samson, because you might say, well, wait a minute, Samson's not like that. Well, tune in. You might think Samson is sometimes charged with being angry, an angry person. Well, wait, tune in to the next sermon, because we're going to see even Samson was patient and took things step by step. So 1 Peter, parts of chapters 1 and 2 to remind us that we are a people chosen by God.